Welcome to Agronomy for Farmer Success, a podcast brought to you by Osmus Farm Supply.
Let's face it, nobody likes to compromise. When it comes to your soybean fields, you shouldn't have to choose between powerful weed control and keeping your crops safe from stress and injury. Thankfully, there's Tendovo, a broad-spectrum pre-emergence herbicide formulated to fight weeds without sacrificing crop safety, delivering a higher potential yield for your fields. Tendovo, raising the pre-emergence bar one clean row at a time. Always read and follow label directions. Please check with your local extension service to ensure registration status.
Today, we have another remote podcast visitor with us today, and it is Dean Grossnickel with Syngenta. So to start our podcast out today, Dean, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your position within Syngenta and what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Thanks for having me. My name's Dean, obviously, and I'm the technical development lead for Syngenta. And basically what that is as we get ready to launch new products, their R&D team hands them off to me and my group. And basically, once that product gets a label, and if there's any kind of data gaps or anything in there, it's up to my group to generate that data and then fill in those data gaps. Prior to this position, I was an agronomist for the western half of the state of Iowa. And basically, my day-to-day job was helping answer questions from sales reps and farmers about our products on a daily basis. So that's what I do now, and really excited to be here with you today.
That sounds like you get a very eventful summer.
Well, that's right. That's right. And it's not just for Iowa. With my new job, I have Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Kansas, South Dakota, and part of North Dakota. So I get a little bit of mileage on the truck here. So
today we're going to start our podcast off talking about just some general best management practices and tips. Dean, what are your thoughts on the best way to apply a residual herbicide?
Best way, especially as we're going into corn and soybean planting, and a lot of people utilize pre's, right? And so when I think about pre's and pre-application, what are we trying to do with it? And what weed are we going after? Those are the two main questions that I want to answer. So as we know, water hemp or your pigweed species, small seeded broadleaves are becoming more and more problematic. We know from the biology of that weed, they like to germinate in that upper eighth to a quarter inch of soil. Knowing that biology on that particular weed, what I really want, I want my thickest herbicide layer to be in that zone of germination. That particular weed, I would like that person or farmer to plant, spray their pre-residual down, and then that way that concentration of herbicide is right in that zone of the germination of water hemp and or the pigweed species, right? I'm getting the highest concentration of herbicide in that zone. Now, if I'm going after large-seeded broadleaf, maybe like a giant ragweed or something like that, I may want to do an incorporation on that herbicide to get it dry, right? Because a lot of times those large seeded broadleaves can germinate from some depth. And so in that case, I may want to do an incorporation on that herbicide to get that herbicide down again in kind of into that zone of germination. Now, I don't want to bury it. When we talk about incorporation, we really want to just take out our tracks, lightly incorporate it so it's in that top inch of soil. That's going to be give us our best results for that herbicide. There's another component that I always like to look at as well, and that is we talk about rainfall. And you know that in the western part of our geography, as we move towards the Missouri River, rainfall has been limited a lot, you know, as we go into western Iowa, Nebraska, that Sioux Falls area. We've missed some rains, right? And so the idea is if we can get a little bit of incorporation, we can get that herbicide activated. And really, basically, we do that with a little bit of incorporation, but we're still going to end up needing that half to three quarters of an inch of rainfall to get that herbicide properly incorporated, because it always takes some sort of soil moisture to get it activated. With that rainfall, we truly do that. With incorporation, you're utilizing a little bit of that soil moisture to get it activated. Those are the couple different methods to get that herbicide activated and kind of the different scenarios, depending on weed situation, how you'd utilize those.
You talk about, you know, being dry. Hopefully this year we might see a little bit of difference. Seems like over the winter we got enough snow. We're starting that spring off, especially over in that western region, a little bit wetter than we have the past couple seasons. As you talked about your general pre with incorporation and what those little scenarios are, what are maybe some pros and cons to each method for farmers? Because we know if there was one perfect method, you won't be mentioning a couple of different ones. So if a farmer is kind of trying to figure out which way we should go, and we're looking at the season this year where it was 90 degrees last week and then there was snow yesterday, and what are some pros and cons to each of those methods you mentioned so farmers can start to think about maybe what they want to do here in the next week or so?
Yeah. The biggest one I always get is you know, that first method, right? I'm going to plant and then I'm going to spray my herbicide. Really, the con to that method is it really does take that rainfall. We need that half to three quarters of an inch of rain to get it into the soil solution, to get it activated, to get it going. That's the one con about that. It's going to give us that nice concentration where we want it, like I just said earlier, but I got to get that rainfall. And luckily we got some rain here, at least down where I am. I had about 4/10 of an inch of rain. If I look at my rain gauge here, I had about 4/10 of an inch of rain. Now that's a little bit shy of that half an inch to three quarters of an inch that I just said I needed to get activation. The question always comes up, okay, I had 2/10 today, 3/10 tomorrow, and another 2/10 3 days from now. Okay, so I got 7/10. So I'm technically up in your half to three quarters of an inch, but it doesn't work that way. You need basically about half to three quarters of an inch all in one shot to get that herbicide activated. And sometimes we 4/10, we got partial activation, but we didn't quite get enough. And so that could lead us into where we get a germination event and those weeds get started prior to us getting full activation. And when that happens, all of a sudden we're stuck with that situation where we may have to go out there sooner than we wanted to with that post application. So that's really the negative there. Sometimes we talk about photo decomposition of that herbicide laying on that top of the ground. I'm not really worried about that. The old products like trifurulin, those were you always had to worry about photo decomposition. If you just laid it up on top of the ground and then the sunlight beat down on it, the sun could decompose that. Trifurulin. We have to had used to back in the old eradicane days. That was one of those that would volatilize off the soil. Most of our herbicides now don't do that. I'm probably more worried about our 32, our 28 sitting on top of that soil. And you always do lose a little fraction of that, you know, the longer it sits out there before we get a rain. So that's kind of the negative on that side. Positive is high concentration in that zone where our weed is. The next option, incorporations. The pro is that we're getting some sort of incorporation. We're utilizing that soil moisture to get some sort of that activity already on that herbicide. So we're giving it a little bit of a head start. But again, the con is you got to have soil moisture to get it activated. So if we're super dry and you're powdery dry, you're really not getting much activity out of that incorporation, because it takes soil moisture to help get that established. Secondly is I want to just lightly take out my tracks. A lot of times we want to put that field cultivator down or disc down a little too deep. And then what we're going to get is streaking in that field. So you're going to streak your herbicide. You're going to have zones of high concentration with zones of little concentration, and you're going to have these streaks that go across your field. That's something we don't want. We want our spacing nice and shallow with nice soil movement to get that incorporated, lightly take out our tracks. So those are the pros and cons.
And if you have questions on these methods and which one maybe is going to be best with you with the program that you're using, you know, contact your trusted AFS agronomist and they will help you through the pros and cons with your products that you're using and the situation that you're in with soil and moisture and different things like that. So great tips, Dean. Now we're going to transition into a product that you and your team have been working on, and it's called Tendovo. Mm-hmm. This is a pretty unique product. And what makes Tendovo stand out on the pre-emergent herbicide market?
Well, it truly is one of the first premix products that incorporates a group 15 S-metolachlor dual with chloranzolam. There's really a lot of different chloranzolam mixes out there, but they're not paired with that group 15. And so here we have that situation where we have high levels of the S-metolachlor that's going to give us that small-seeded broadleaf grass component there. We bring in the chloranzolam. That's going to give us our large-seeded broadleaf component. The giant ragweed control, velvet leaf control, morning glory control. So now we got the best of both worlds. Small-seeded broadleaf control, large-seeded broadleaf control in a nice, robust premix that really puts down a good amount of AI to get us out there to that time when we're actually applying our post-emergence herbicides. Too oftentimes, even with some of our older products like Boundary or Broad Axe or something like that, the rates that we're utilizing in some of those scenarios, we're kind of still in that Roundup Ready where we're doing foundation rates and then we're following it up with pre's. But let's face it, we had a lot of soybeans that went in the ground here this last week. And if we're waiting until June 15th to spray our post on some of these, that's a lot to ask out of that pre-emergence herbicide. Tendovo, with the rates and robust rates that we have in that, really gives you the opportunity to actually get out there to where you're going to spray your post. And then you hopefully that post has an overlapping residual. And so that's what makes it unique. So it gives you both components with robust rates to get you out there to that post-emergence timing.
You had mentioned earlier in your little introduction about yourself that you are the team that goes out and does trials. What are you seeing in those trials for, you know, North Central Iowa, Southern Minnesota with Tendovo?
So basically what we're seeing is we're seeing that our product that was as close to it as Boundary, right? Boundary is dual and metribuzin, which Tendovo has dual and metribuzin in it. But the hole that you always saw in the Boundary was that large-seeded broadleaf component, the velvet leaf control, the morning glory control. And then sometimes those get a start on you before you actually get out there to when our post-application is. So how do we round that out? We rounded that out with that chloranzolam component there. What we're seeing is, again, large-seeded broadleaf, velvet leaf, giant ragweed being controlled and giving us, we're reducing that large-seeded broadleaf pressure. And like I said, it has higher rates of S-metolachlor in there to, again, give you that small-seeded broadleaf control a lot longer than what we've seen in the past. Really, really excellent control there. Additionally, it's a very crop-safe product, right? There's a lot of some of these PPOs that we utilize sometimes on one of my products, Broad Axe. That's S-metolachlor or dual and sulfentrazone. It's a PPO. And sometimes when we apply those PPOs down, we'll get that splash effect. So we'll get one of these hard spring rains. Our cotyledons are coming up right through the ground and we get a splash effect. And that PPO is then coming up and burning that leaf tissue. And sometimes you see that out of those PPO type products. With Tendovo, you get away from that in a large degree. You know, you're not hurting that crop. You see a level of crop safety, again, more robust rates, and we're filling that hole of the large-seeded broadleaf component that we didn't have in some of our other products.
Like we talked about before, if there was like, you know, one method that worked, we wouldn't have all these options. When we talk about pre's, we talk about tank mixes and we talk about, you know, two-pass programs and different things like that. Now, for Tendovo, what are some recommended tank mixes so that you're getting the most out of that pre-emergent pass that you're making so it can last till that post application can be made? What are you recommending for growers to put in that tank?
Yeah, some recommendations that we have when we try and make a Tendovo tank mix, especially if we're thinking about having that burn down application. Basically, we can do any number of things with that. First of all, we could do a glyphosate Roundup and Tendovo, make a nice package for a good burn down combination there. You're going to get the burn down from the glyphosate. You're also going to get some activity out of the chloranzolam for those large seeded broadleaves like velvet leaf, giant ragweed from a post standpoint. Additionally, you can use 2,4-D. as a burn down option, but we do need to watch our plant back restrictions when we use 2,4-D as a tank mix partner with Tendovo. We have to watch that 7-day plant back if we are using 2,4-D. Another burn down option is including dicamba with Tendovo. Now, a dicamba in this regards, we would want an Extendamax or an Ingenia type product to go with that. And we're going to put that on top of a dicamba bean, right? So we need those two in place. We can use a regular Banvil or Clarity on a regular bean to tank mix with Tendovo. But if we use one of those older products on a non-dicamba bean, we have to wait 30 days and have an intrain. So there's a lot better options if we're going to use dicamba. We'd want a dicamba traded soybean, and then we'd want to use one of those newer products like an Ingenia or Extendamax to tank mix with Tendovo. Those are some of the options we have as far as a burn down and tank mix combination with Tendovo.
Yeah. Now, you talked about that Tendovo can, it's robust. It seems to last longer. Again, we're going to be going into that post factor, and we're not really sure when that's going to be because, like you said, in some areas, there was a lot of beans planted last week when it hit, you know, 1 week we hit 50, 60, 70, 80, and 90. Mm-hmm. And now this week we're back down to, you know, cooler temperatures. So we're not really sure when that's going to be, but what are you recommending as a second pass program with Tendovo to get that optimum weed control all season long?
Yeah, well, that's really the big thing. For me, it's having those overlapping residuals with that pre-type product. And for me, I always like to go like herbicide with a like herbicide. We talked about Tendovo having S-metolachlor or dual in it. And so I really like to stack my residuals. So I'd like to have dual in my first pass with Tendovo, which we have. And then I like to see that in that second pass as well. So we're stacking dual on top of dual, giving that overlapping residual there. So dual is going to be in that post application. And then we can go with any other trait platform out there. So if it's a 2,4-D trait platform, like an Enlist platform, we're going to go dual, Enlist, and glyphosate. That gives us that nice tank mix combination to get control with that second pass. If we're going to be in that ExtendFlex or dicamba trait platform, I'd like to see dual and then glyphosate as well, and then maybe an Extendamax or Ingenia there to have that combination. Those are the two options. Really, it doesn't matter what trait platform. We're just basically starting strong with Tendovo. We're going to have that overlapping residual with the dual component. And then whether it is a 2,4-D or a dicamba, I leave that up to the grower and their decision. But that should give you a nice, robust, overlapping residual and great control in that post-application pass.
That sounds great, Dean. You've given our listeners some good tips on just best management practices for pre-herbicide application. You've given fantastic information on Tendovo. And again, for our listeners that you heard this now and you got some questions with the weather and maybe you're going to switch some things up, give your agronomist a call and they will help you walk you through that. They will make sure that you have everything you need in your tank mix to get the most out of your pre-application. And we wish everybody the best of luck this year. And, you know, hopefully if you can predict the weather, you're going to be better than everybody, you know, going out there. But I'd like to thank Dean today for joining us. And anything else you want our listeners to hear before we jump off our podcast today, Dean?
I think the biggest thing is a lot of those tips that I talked about earlier on, you know, with the pre-herbicides, that's not just, you know, encompasses Syngenta portfolio. Those are good best management practices for any herbicide that you're utilizing. Just kind of think about it again. What is the weed that I'm going after? What is the best application to get the most efficacy out of that herbicide that I'm utilizing? And just think through those things. I think that's going to give everybody what they really want out of that herbicide application. Like you said, there's not one size fits all for anybody here. But again, get with your agronomist. And again, that they will help you utilize these tools the best way possible.
Yeah. Thank you, Dean. And we wish all of our growers the best of luck going into this season.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Agronomy for Farmer Success. If you'd like any additional information, please contact your trusted Osmus Farm Supply agronomist. Please make sure to subscribe to Agronomy for Farmer Success on your podcast player of choice, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Pandora, and more, to be notified when new episodes become available.